Hi, I'm Julie Riesler, and I'm known as America's Life Designer. And I'm an interior designer for your soul and mentor for spiritual entrepreneurs. I am here to guide you back to your best self, to manifest your biggest dream. I am a master life coach, founder of the Life Designer Coach Academy certification program, author of Get a PhD in You, and host of this very global podcast in over 175 countries. For over a decade, I've helped thousands of high achievers and empaths just like you to overcome self-doubt, overwhelm, and fear so you can feel confident to be your youest you. I'm so excited, my friend, to share these conversations with leading experts, spiritual luminaries, celebrities, and deep dives with yours truly. If you're ready to design your most abundant life and help others to do the same, go to julieriesler.com for more resources and support. We all have the power to intentionally design our dream lives, and I am thrilled to show you how. Let's do this. Hey, it is Julie, and I am so psyched about this interview today. I know you're going to love this conversation that I had with Roger Love, who is literally one of the most well-known voice coaches in the world. Let me tell you a little bit about him, and then we're going to get started. Roger Love is recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on voice. No other vocal coach in history has been more commercially successful in both the speaking and singing fields. Roger has vocally produced more than 150 million unit sales worldwide and written three top-selling books. My friends, Roger knows a thing or two about how to use your voice. Roger coaches singers such as John Mayer and Selena Gomez, as well as speakers like Tony Robbins, and actors that you're going to recognize like Brad Pitt, Reese Witherspoon, Keira Knightley, and Bradley Cooper. And you are going to learn so much detail about how to really understand your voice, how to use it to convey what you're feeling, what you want to share with the world. And Roger has generously offered a $50 gift certificate to learn how to harness your voice. And it's waiting for you right now at rogerlove.com/Julie. All right, here we go. I'm just so happy to have you here and so honored for your time and expertise and just who you are in the world.
Thank you so much for your kind words.
So great to have you. And I want to thank Dr. Kakshan Ellie, who's just a sweetheart. She was a student in my coaching program, I know in your program, and just sang your praises and was like, Julie, I'm connecting you guys. You've got to have Roger on. So thank you to Kakshan. And I would just love to, for those who don't know you yet or have heard of you, can we get a little background story? How did you really get into the industry that you're in now? And why is it such a passion for you?
First of all, I'm a voice coach. And when people hear that name, they don't know what to think, because really, to be a voice coach, all you need is to go to the printing shop and print up a card that says voice coach and get someone to be your student. In New York, if you're a voice coach, you're mostly someone who plays the piano and accompanies young musical theater wannabes to sound better at their auditions. But what I am as a voice coach, I'm someone who started as a singing coach. So at 16 and a half, I was sort of thrown in to be the voice coach for the Beach Boys and the Jacksons and Earth, Wind & Fire and all of these top groups. And I spent 17 years teaching singers, and I loved it. And I got pretty good. At that point in life, I was thinking that my goal was to be the greatest singing coach in the world. Mm. And 17 years, I was getting good. And then speakers started coming to me, like Tony Robbins, and actors started coming to me, like Reese Witherspoon and Jeff Bridges, and authors started coming to me, like John Gray. And they said, we want you to work on our speaking voice. We've heard you're a voice coach. And I said, no, I'm a singing voice coach. And they said, no, we don't care about that. We need help. Mm-hmm. And so I started helping all these really professional speakers who had platforms of millions of people that were listening to them. And I realized that singing and speaking is basically the same thing. Mm. And that started me on a path that would allow me to work with people with their singing voices and to work with people on their speaking voices. And I love it. When you change a singer's voice, it's great. They sell more records, more downloads. When you change a speaker's voice, you change their life. So I went from someone who just thought I should exist as someone who can give somebody a great voice to later on realizing I had the knowledge to use voice to help make great people.
Mm. Oh gosh, I love that. So this is really interesting. You said singing and speaking, it's the same. Can say a little more, and I want to hear what you've noticed in, I mean, obviously, we know Tony Robbins and so many of the people you're talking about, how that work has changed their life and can do that.
When you sing, you basically have control over five variables. The pitch of your voice, how high is it? How low is it? The volume of your voice, how loud is it? How soft is it? The melody, does it go up? Does it go down? Does it stay on the same note? The tone, is it airy? I love you. You love me. We like chocolate. Or is it edgy? Ah, chocolate. No way. And the pace, how fast or slow we sing. Those are the only variables we have in music. Pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume. And I realized I could apply those same variables to the speaking voice because people who speak, you, me, doctors, lawyers, everyone, they're professional people, parents, they're not thinking about what musically could they add to their voice. They're following the lessons of a relatively well-known man named Aristotle, which about 3,000 years ago said that I understand the pillars of rhetoric. And yet there was one giant ingredient missing from what Aristotle was talking about rhetoric, and that was the sounds that are attached to the words. And so for thousands of years, people have been thinking to be a great oral communicator, all I have to do is have the right words. Julie, if I had the right words to say to you, you would leave your husband tonight and you and I would run away together and we'd write a new book called Roger and Julie. If I had the right words, I could get the right job. If I had the right words, I could get paid this. If I had the right words, I could have the right relationships. And it's not true, because science proves that when we speak to one another, your brain processes what I say first for emotion and then logic. So words have no emotion. Let's do a test. Tell me how I feel about this. I love my wife. I hate my wife. I love strawberries. I hate strawberries. You do not know how I feel about my wife and strawberries.
No idea. Nope.
So the brain hears logic first, and the amygdala, the first part of the brain, says, not interested in this conversation or this person. So the conversation is over. But when the brain hears sounds, I love my wife, I love strawberries, the brain says, ooh, this is emotional. Come on in. And it passes that information right to the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that processes it, decides how it feels about it, stores it into memory, and connects it with other memories that it already has. So you can take action based on the way somebody makes you feel. So people are wasting their time only focusing on the words. And I teach a system, I call it deep communication, and it's how to get deeper into the brain by attaching the right sounds that make people feel and remember what you say instead of just try to write down the words and think if they give a crap later or not.
Woo, wow. Okay, there's so much to unpack here because so many of my listeners are entrepreneurial, are speakers, are wanting to do TED Talks and speaking in conferences and making an impact with their words. That's why I love my USU family and community. And this is okay, I didn't realize the science. I got to be honest, I didn't. It makes sense, but I didn't realize the neuroscience of the emotion piece. This is huge. And I'll tell you, I won't name names, but there's someone I knew well for a while who so meant well, had a lot to say, but was very, I guess what you called monotone. It was, mm-hmm. and because I couldn't feel what he was saying, it was hard to connect. And that's what I'm hearing you say science shows as well.
Yeah. Let me say that I love words. So I'm not putting down words. Without words, there wouldn't be any poetry. Without words, there wouldn't be any lyrics to songs. We'd all walk around going, la, 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 la. There wouldn't even be the word law. So I don't know what we'd do. We just hum. That's it. That's all we got. So words are amazing. So I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that we've had a lifetime, multiple lifetimes of thinking about words. And now we have to understand that there are sounds that we could attach to words that would actually change the way we influence people and how people perceive us. I say that when you have a great voice, when you've tuned it like an instrument, you can do three things, Julie. You can control other people's perception of you. So you can show off and bring to the forefront the best of who you are and have them perceive who you want to be, because the best of you, like I said. Number two thing, when you have a great voice, you can move people emotionally. And I just already said how important that is.
Yeah.
And the third thing is when you have a great voice, when you find your voice, because everybody's voice is different, everybody's voice is a different great. When you find your voice, you then have influence over the outcome of every communication you have. Mm-hmm. So your listeners, let's say they're making pitches or they're giving speeches, they have in their mind an outcome of the way they want it to turn out in the end, why they made that pitch, how they made that pitch, why they wrote that speech, why they delivered that, why they created that particular product, why they're marketing that particular course. There's an outcome in mind. They just don't realize that their voice was probably the most important factor to influencing the outcome.
Okay, just pausing briefly to share about something that could be just what you're seeking. If your USU is calling out to fulfill a greater purpose, to help others get unstuck and actualize their greatness, then you gotta check out my Life Designer Coach Academy certification program. This is a world-class 4-month live virtual premier coach certification for aspiring and current coaches who want to learn the proven tools, techniques, practices, and coach methodology infused with an integrative approach of mind-body science, positive psychology, and the healing arts. This certification program is taught by yours truly and is an amazing global course that will most definitely help you become a powerful life coach. I teach and share what I've learned in my decade of experience getting my master's degree in coaching, being on the Georgetown University faculty in their coaching program, and coaching hundreds of ambitious leaders, executives, entrepreneurs, and influencers. To learn more, go to julieriesler.com/certification. Okay, back to the interview. Okay, so I know that you teach this, and I love this deep communication system. For those listening, we have so many people I feel like that are going to resonate, right? Whether it's a pitch, whether it's getting people to join a program and do something that really makes an impact. Maybe it's even a PTA, like whatever it is. So you talked about these five variables, and I'm wondering, I know we can't go through the whole thing, but maybe just to start with some ways that, because I'm thinking for those that may not feel secure or confident, what I remember, and this is why I was like, I must interview you. You had talked about ways to step into and to build confidence through the tone, through the pacing. And I am so not an expert, but I hear what you're saying and would love to teach our audience a little bit today what to do.
Beautiful. Pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume. Let's start with melody, all right?
Beautiful.
Melody is basically the pattern of the notes that are attached to the words that come out of your mouth. Whether you realize it or not, whether you're musical or not, whether you think you're tone deaf or not, every time you open up your mouth, you actually are creating a melody. There are three types of melodies that everyone is creating. One is called monotone. This is me. Basically staying on the same note, and I just stay on that same note the whole time, and I'm really excited, Julie. Yeah, this is the greatest day of my life, meeting you. I'm Mr. Monotone or Ms. Monotone. And what happens is when you speak in a monotone, people think they know what you're going to sound like next. And then when they think they know what you're going to sound like next, they think they know what you're going to say next. And then they tune the channel to another channel because yeah. you bored them to tears and you have no emotion. So yes. Monotone is one. That's staying yeah. on the same pitch. There's another one called ascending melodies. That's where you go from low to high. I really like marshmallows. I really like you, Julie. You're so nice. This is an ascending scale. People should use more ascending scales. They do use them sometimes, except they were mistakenly told by their elementary school teachers yes. that they should only use ascending melodies when it's a question. You, Roger, you like marshmallows? Why? So they've ruined it, basically. Those really nice teachers ruined the whole concept of melody because we should be using a lot more ascending scales. Music teaches us, and I have a music degree. Music teaches us that when you have an ascending scale, it makes people happy. It actually makes them happy and it makes you seem happy. And those sounds not only make you happy, but they release dopamine into the brain that does make you happy. So ascending scales, we should use more of. It's amazing. My name is Roger Love, but most people use descending scale. My name is Roger Love. It's my birthday. You didn't get me any presents. Julie, don't you love me? I love you. They're using descending scales. And they're like, Roger, I don't talk like that. And I'm like, yes, you do. You go down every single time you get to a comma and a period. Yeah. I have so much melody and I'm really excited about being here. And then I get to a comma. Right. And then I'll talk a little bit more. And then I get to a period. And then I'm wondering all of the time why people are always interrupting me. Well, could it be they're interrupting me because maybe they think I'm dead when I get to a sentence or that I'm maybe not dead, but I'm finished. So every time I go down, musically, that says, I'm done. Your turn. Yeah. So people are using all of these descending scales. Like I said, even when they say their name, you meet somebody, say, what's your name? And they say, Roger Love. And I say, what? Why are you apologizing for your name? Because you're going down. How's the meal? It's great. Well, it's obviously not great. Where are you from? Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles is bad too? So all of these descending scales make people sound depressed, makes them sound sad, and it makes them sound that they're done every time they get to a comma and a period. And that's why interrupteritis is such a common illness. We're doing it to ourselves. If we just got to a comma and had the same note, or we got to a comma and had a little ascending scale, the people would wait forever because they know I'm not done. And then when I'm done, okay, I'm done. Maybe I'll go down.
Yes. Woo! I'm like now a little subconscious about
No, you look, that was perfect. That's perfect. People think that there's this thing called up talk.
Right. We were like, you don't want to go too much up because you sound like you're kind of in the belly.
But here again, let me again talk about music because if you're writing an article on up talk and you don't understand music, you probably shouldn't be writing that article. Up talk is loosely based on valley talk. Which I grew up in the Valley, San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. And there was this girl named Moon Unit Zappa, who was the daughter of Frank Zappa. And she started getting popular and she had this sound aside from a Valley accent. She also would scoop. It's okay. And everything would scoop sort of like they sometimes do in Australia. G'day. There's a scoop that happens as you go from one note to the next. That scooping. It's not great. I love Australians, but that's scooping.
Okay.
That is more of what I call up talk, but I'm talking about literally going from note to note. So instead of I love chocolate. We go, I love chocolate statement. Instead of like, you were born with the name love. It's, I was born with the name love. It's statement.
Got it. That actually, for everyone listening to, I'm like, oh, now I understand.
Makes sense, right? Okay. Totally another thing, pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume. Volume. People are dramatically, oh my gosh, I forgot. I want to do something. Here, let's do this. Let me show you the difference of how melody makes people feel.
Okay.
If you're still wondering, just melody alone. I'm going to ask you the same question twice, but I'm going to change the melody both times. Ready? Do you want to go to the movies? Do you want to go to the movies? You're like, Roger, I don't like scary films.
No, it scares
me. No, it scares the hell out of me. Okay, now I'm gonna ask you the same question, I'm changing the melody. Do you wanna go to the movies? Do you wanna go to the movies? You're like, Roger, I love rom-coms.
Yeah, it's like.
Let's go, I'll bring my kids, you bring your kids. Do you wanna go to the movies? That's a perfect example of how simple just changing the melody can make somebody feel scared or welcomed.
Yeah.
So now I say volume, the next what I call building blocks of voice, pitch, tone, melody, and volume. People are afraid of volume. Why? Because the one thing that they're afraid of is sounding angry.
Yes.
We don't like to sound angry, and we certainly don't like it when other people sound angry towards us. So what's the main component of the angry sound? People think it's all about volume. What they don't understand is all emotions are a mix of pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume. Mm-hmm. And volume by itself has gotten a bad rep. Volume is amazing because what you really want to do when you speak, even virtually, is you want your voice to come out of your mouth and vibrate the bodies of the people that listen. That's not woo-woo. Sound is invisible, and sound waves come out of my mouth and they physically vibrate you. In case you've ever had a rock concert and you walk past the speakers, and practically pushes you over because sound, just because you can't see it, sound waves have power and they're physical. So the goal is to vibrate the bodies of the people you're speaking to. So you need a certain amount of volume to do that. Okay. So as I said, all emotions are a mixture of volume. Right. People think loud is angry. No. In order to sound angry, you actually have to make three sounds at the same time. You have to be loud. You have to have no melody, and you have to speak fast. Watch this. Okay. So I'm really, really loud, and I'm on the same note, and I sound angry because it's monotone. But if I did exactly the same thing, but I added melody, I would never sound angry. As a matter of fact, I'd sound happy. Next, pace. When you're angry, at least what's called hot anger. There's two angers, hot anger, cold anger. We're talking about hot anger. When you sound angry, you don't have time to think about the words. You're so bottled up. Right. When you finally open your mouth and you get it out, I've been thinking about this the whole time. I know we've been married 30 years. I should have mentioned it some along the way, but I don't like this.
Right.
And all the words just come spewing out fast. So I could be as loud as I want and even have no melody, but if I didn't rush, you wouldn't think in a million years that I was angry at you. So I literally have spent years figuring out there's four major emotions, but there's 23 or 24 major and minor emotions as offshoots of those four, okay? So in total, there's about 23-ish different emotions. I've literally classified all of the emotions on a 1 to 10 scale of pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume so that I can teach people the sounds of grateful. I can teach them the sounds of intelligence. I can teach people the sounds of happy, whatever emotions they want to showcase. It's that interesting and scientific, even though everything I do is heart-based. So you see, people aren't thinking the way that I'm thinking, that the sounds they're making are making people feel emotions, but they don't realize that they're even making those specific sounds or that they're leading those people to feel a certain way or that they have the chance and the opportunity to instead make certain sounds that cause emotions, create emotions that lead people in the direction you want them to go. I'm a car salesman. Somebody walks through the door. There's Sally. She brings her friend Bill. Bill's not interested in buying a car. Bill's mad at being at this dealership. Sally's only barely interested in buying a car. I have to move both of them emotionally so that Sally finds the car of her dreams, because it is the car of her dreams, and Bill, while he's there, decides he needs a car that he didn't even know he needed, and they both drive out with a car, and I'm salesman of the day. And I can do that if I can move both of them emotionally toward the outcomes that are going to work for me and for them. It's not just a Vulcan mind meld where I'm going to hypnotize you to think an emotion or feel an emotion that you don't want. No, it's open, authentic. I feel this way, so now you know how I feel. Now, do you want to feel that way or not? Totally up to you.
Hey, my friend, it's Julie. I'm just pausing for a second. I want to share one of my new favorite things. I am obsessed with Brooklyn Candle Studio. They have the most amazing candles. All of these candles are paraffin-free, phthalate-free, 100% vegan, made in Brooklyn. The dreamy scents are literally like they're, I'm right now, I have my Brooklyn Candle going. They are inspired by nature and travel and moments and memories. All of their candles are handmade in their Brooklyn studio. And what you're going to love is that they're made with sustainable soy wax and beautiful, amazing scented perfume oils and essential oils. So amazing, meticulous craftsmanship. You can even reuse the receptacle, the glass that it comes in. And you are going to just love this candle. You can get 20% off now at brooklyncandlestudio.com. Just use the code USU20. And you are so welcome. Let me know your favorite candle, and we're going to go back to the show. Woo, this is next level. This is so brilliant. And now I'm, without going too deep, I'm like, oh my gosh, can you teach us, you know, like that sounding intelligent or grateful? I'm like, this is brilliant. It's, you know what I'm picturing? You've got like, it sounds like you've got the actual, like the exact, you know, it's like if you put a color together, right? A palette, and you're like, it's like a drop of this and a drop of that at 42% and 52%. And if you put it together, I'm almost getting, it's like creating that color with sound, which we, because we're emotional beings first, which I've done a whole session on that. We know that we relate and resonate. This is next level.
Do you know that, first of all, most people think they were born with the voice that they have. They hear themselves as a young adult, as an adult, all the way through their lives, and they say, I have to apologize. This is the voice I was born with. And what I say to people is, you weren't born with a voice. You were born with an instrument. And you have to learn how to play that instrument. Okay, so for example, I'm so sorry, your grandmother died. Your grandmother, when she died, though, she left you a Steinway grand piano. And you're like, oh, I love my grandmother. And so she just gave me a Steinway grand piano, which is big. Now I have to find a place to put it. I find a place to put it, and I have it in my living room. And it, every time I walk past it, it reminds me of my grandmother. But I have two choices. I can turn that into a frame holder, or I can make music with it because I don't know how to play. I do know how to play, but it's because, let's say, I don't know how to play that instrument. So I can learn to play the piano and make music from the instrument, or I can leave it as a frame holder and hope that somebody comes in the living room and sits down sometime and plays it. And then I really am emotionally connected to the music and my grandmother. So we were born with an instrument. We weren't given a manual. I didn't get mine in the crib. I think they sent me home with a binky, which I didn't want. I was very happy with my thumb, but they sent me home with a binky and a list of instructions on when to feed me or how to feed me. But they did not say, here's how you teach them to speak. Mm-hmm. And that will influence every communication they ever have in their lives. And it will influence every communication, which leads to every relationship, which leads to a life. What is a life? A series of communications with different people strung together. including the conversations you have with yourself.
Mm.
I literally work from, I mean, this isn't woo-woo either. I train, people think I'm training the outside of their voices, and I am. But in the process, I'm training the voices inside so that they find their strength. They find their confidence. They overcome fear. Do you know that this is crazy and so true? The number one fear in America and pretty much the rest of the world, although it might be number one and number two in other places like Canada, number one is fear of heights. And number two is the number one fear of the rest of the world, fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
So here's the dichotomy. The world is afraid of public speaking. Okay. Now, on the other hand, what's the most requested skill set on LinkedIn and any other situation, job site, or in relationships? What's the greatest skill set? Communication.
Yeah.
So the number one thing that we're the most afraid of is the number one skill set that we actually need in our personal lives and in our business. So what happens?
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Right, so exactly.
Nothing happens. So I'm literally retraining the entire world. I say I'm saving the world, one voice at a time, because I'm teaching people to train their instruments so that they become great oral communicators. And then we can all get together. It's so funny, right? When I tell people I was a keynote speaker for the last World Day at the United Nations. You know?
Wow.
And I was like, why'd you pick a voice coach for World Day? You know, don't you want somebody who other people would think is saving the world? And they're like, no, we want you. And my message was, we'll never all agree on politics, on religion, on ideas. But one thing we can do is we could agree on the way we feel. So if we could communicate and agree to feel a certain way, if we spoke together and we put aside our differences, our different religions, our different accents, our different regionalisms, and we came together with sounds, then we could agree we feel the same way, and then we could fix things if we feel the same way.
Okay, I got chills. That is a beautiful, powerful statement. And actually, I've never heard it said that way, which goes to me, what you're bringing up is that core empathy, that core compassion. This is really powerful.
Yeah.
The
two most popular sounds in the world are anger and depression right now. The sounds that we're hearing from the majority of people that are speaking, not you and I, the majority of people that we're unicorns. Okay. I just have my thing going that way.
Unicorns? I love them.
Both unicorns. So, but if you listen to the world and you had to identify what are the two most popular sounds, it's the sounds of angry and the sounds of depression. And isn't that interesting that we're living in a time where people are just angry and there's never been higher levels of depression? Those are the two sounds. Do you know when you take someone who is clinically depressed and you literally have them start speaking with ascending melodies and change the volume of their voice, their levels of depression go down just by having them speak in a happy way. Because what you hear, it changes what you feel. You're not, when you speak, it's not just for the other person. You hear those sounds in the room and you think, oh, they came out of me, and it changes.
Okay, so now my brain is like, okay, so depression and what we're seeing in the world, this
isolation.
I mean, this is to me, oh my gosh, I mean, such a natural way if people could learn this. I mean, this could change, if it changes your inner state, and I mean, I know you're doing this, but we got to get this work and you out there, Roger. This is really big because it reminds me, you know, I know neuroplasticity, we can change our thoughts. What I've never heard this, I'm honestly processing it real time because it's so powerful and it, we all have this ability.
Yeah. Nobody's ever said this. The idea is if you want to change how you think, you have to change the sounds that come out of your mouth. The sounds, not just the words.
Shh, drop the mic.
Right? It's why you sit in a concert and somebody plays a happy song. and you're like, oh, I'm at Shakey's and let's have a pizza, or I'm suddenly hungry, and then somebody starts to play.
I'm gonna cry.
And you're like, oh, I remember the first time somebody broke my heart. Oh, I remember the first time I broke somebody else's heart, which was even worse for me. And music is the way music operates on the brain is so scientifically proven. So right. I've taken all of that and a lifetime of working with music, singers, and speakers and brought it together so that I can speak. And when I speak, it's like I'm speaking your favorite song. And it moves you emotionally. And when I speak, it's like I'm singing my favorite song. And it moves me emotionally.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So.
you see what I mean? Nobody knows what a voice coach. Nobody knows what a voice coach is because the phrase voice coach is just so, such a tiny bit of what I do. You could call me anything. And it would probably fit as long as it had the word voice attached to it. But this is the kind of voice coach that I am.
Yeah, and it's truly transformative at every level. And you know, I'm thinking about music and sound healing. We know that what you're saying that's different is the ability to make those sounds. I never thought of that. What you're saying to yourself, we know the thoughts, but the sound. I mean, I always say my mind is blown because I don't want my mind to be blown. It's blowing. This is really powerful. And my follow-up question is for those that are, so the fear of public speaking, so those, and I've met them, worked with them. I've felt this before where you step into the arena or the stage or a pitch, you feel scared, you get sweaty palms. How can we train or speak our way into confidence if that's not how we're feeling in our body? I know this is something you must know about.
I know a little bit about this, okay?
You know a little bit, yep.
You know, I work with all of these famous actors, right? Bradley Cooper, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston, Joaquin Phoenix, Jeff Bridges, Reese Witherspoon. I work with all of these famous actors. If you ask the actor, do you feel the feelings that you're portraying when you're acting? And they would say, no, I don't get paid to feel. I get paid to make other people feel. Mm. So just an insight, an actor is not necessarily feeling it. An actor is creating the sounds and the physicality and the words that make other people feel things. If they feel it, it's a bonus, but it isn't a prerequisite, even on the top actors of the world. And I've coached many Academy Award winning actors.
Brilliant.
Okay. So when we speak, the reason we're afraid, the reason why it's number one fear in America is we're afraid of being judged harshly.
Yeah.
If I open up my mouth and I give my pitch, I'm afraid that nobody will buy it. If I open my mouth and I mend my pitches, will you marry me? Then I'm afraid the other person says, no, I don't like you that way. Why would you even ask? I don't even want to be friends. So it hurts to be judged harshly. That's a real fear. I understand it.
Right.
Okay. So here's how you fix it. You do not have to be the most personality-driven extrovert. You just need more melody, some of the sounds that create excitement and personality. So you add more melody and you are perceived as being more excited and more friendly and more happy and more grateful. You add more volume and you are perceived as being stronger, more powerful, more in command, more knowledgeable, more influential, even if you don't feel that way. So by literally tweaking the pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume, you then are perceived however you decide to be. And it's so easy. Like I said, you don't even have to have an ear for this stuff. You just have to realize what you're doing. For example, here's a big problem and something your fans should know. Most people speak while they're holding their breath. And that's why this sound right here, which is called vocal fry, or I call it squeaky hinge, because it's like a door that never got any WD-40. nobody can find the WD-40. We know it exists on the planet, but it never seems to be in the closet it's supposed to be. So everyone is speaking with a squeaky hinge. Vocal fry. As a matter of fact, it's become sort of avant-garde. Yeah. Turn on reality TV and I'm on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and I just don't understand why I didn't get a separate date, why I didn't get a one-on-one date. I deserve a one-on-one date. Look at my nails, look at my hair, look at my six-pack. I deserve a one-on-one date. And we hear it on everywhere, and we're thinking now, this is like the sound of the decade. Vocal fry is the new French fry, right? But what? How do you make a vocal fry? There's no air coming out. You're literally holding your breath. That's not a good sound. There's nothing sexy about vocal fry. If your partner happens to think that they sort of like this, you can use it sometimes if it turns somebody else on. But right. The bottom line is it's a terrible sound. There's no melody. There's no volume. There's no vibration. There's no connection with vocal fry. So how do we fix the world from doing vocal fry? Well, they're holding their breath, like I said. Why? Because most people, when they breathe, they take a breath. They first of all raise their chest and shoulders, which they shouldn't do because the lungs aren't in their shoulders. They should have good posture, chest up, shoulders back and down. And now when I breathe, I'm going to let my tummy come forward. I'm going to breathe in through my nose. Most people don't do that, but most people don't know there are filters in the nose called turbinates. And when you breathe in through the nose, your air becomes moist, and then when it goes to your throat, it doesn't dry out your vocal cords. And the reason people are losing their voice is because they're breathing through their mouths. You and everybody listening right now, open your mouth and take a big breath in like this. Go ahead. Do you feel the dryness in your throat? Actually, make this sound. You feel dryness in your throat?
Yeah, I feel dry and I can't breathe.
Okay, now close your lips and breathe in through your nose. No dryness.
No.
No dryness. So we have to become nose breathers. Yeah. I digress. And then we have to, when we breathe, we're supposed to pretend like we have a balloon in our tummies, which comes forward when we inhale, which means the air's got to go someplace. We swallowed a balloon. Might as well make the most of it. Tummy comes forward. And then we exhale. And the stomach comes in. Most people, when they speak, their stomach is just sitting there. Hanging out, not moving out, not moving in, doing nothing. That's actually holding your breath. You're supposed to be an accordion. You're supposed to be, now I'm speaking and my stomach is coming in. Now I'm speaking and my stomach is coming in. When you play an accordion, you play, dee, lee, 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 lee. If the accordion stays in the out position, what do you get? Now it's done. You're supposed to only speak while your stomach's coming in. So what everyone should practice today is they should take a breath, pretend they have a balloon in their tummies, stomach comes forward, and then they should let their stomach come in. Roger wants my tummy to come in when I speak. Do it with me. Roger wants my tummy to come in when I speak. Do it again. Roger wants my tummy to come in when I speak. You can't remember the line.
It's like I messed up.
Sorry, short-term memory is not your thing. Anyways, so you are focusing on your tummy because you don't let your stomach come out and in.
Right.
And that's why you're not guilty of this a lot, but a lot of times you do run out of breath and the ends of your sentence fall into that. The last syllable falls into that. Yeah. And that still counts as vocal fry.
So interesting.
And so we don't need vocal fry. We need to eliminate vocal fry in the same way we need to eliminate fillers. Like, I can't have a conversation with people that I even care about because I don't know what we're talking about other than it's like something. But I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is the subject. Well, like, you know, I was like, outside, like, and then were we outside or not? Did we meet a person or is it like outside, like a person? So this fillers thing also, I help people eliminate fillers. Fillers, they're destroying our language. You know what I say about fillers? Is duh. And the second you use a filler, You don't realize this? And you might be from Oxford or Harvard or any other place that you attach some learned education from, and you say, the person who's listening to you says, they're not that smart. Well, the science of this and X plus Y equals Z, no, you lost me, professor.
Yeah, done.
Because that's dumb. You can't be brilliant and dumb at the same time. So you can't have melodies and words and then, like, you know, right? It's all filler. We have to eliminate fillers. You know that a great composer, all great composers, spend as much time writing the silent parts in music as they do writing the notes, right? So if you write ba-ba-ba-bum, 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 then in the silence, there's mystery. There's wonder what's happening next. If there were no silent parts, ba 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 ba, and then he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. We just... now I'm like, first of all, getting an ab workout, which is awesome. I didn't know we were going to be doing that. But now the belly in and out, I'm like, shoot, this is so good for my core, number one.
So good.
So good. And I'm like, you know, no fillers. Like, I try not to do that in food. I'm like, it's so fascinating because we're interpreting at rapid speed, I'm assuming. And it's so true. I've had this where I'm rooting for the speaker and I hear the and it's like, you lost me, but I don't want to be lost, but you did, because now I'm not sure you really know what you're talking about. And and I'm trying to root for them. I'm like, empathy is going to win, but we lose each other when we do that.
You know, it's so, we talk, you know, I like to teach things with a sense of humor because I think people learn it easier when there's a sense of humor. If I just all day was gug, 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 I would have gone crazy. The students would have gone crazy. So I mix the incredible education and all new things. The things we're talking about, the reason you're saying things like, wow, I never knew that, is because I'm the one that created all of my own content. When I was a singing coach and I moved to be a speaking coach or add speakers, I looked at the content and the techniques that were out there and I said, there's nothing great. And I don't want to teach what Aristotle was teaching. So I had to create all new content. So everything that I talk about, I'm the one that created it. That makes me proud to be a teacher. I'm not just following what had been working because it wasn't working. I decided that doesn't work. If literally, like I said, if being afraid of speaking in public is your fear, then you need to be a better communicator, because I can't wait to speak in public because I know how people are going to react to me, because I know what I'm going to offer. I know I can give them the gift of me. I can present the gift of me and they're going to think, oh my God, I didn't know I even wanted that gift. I didn't want a Roger. I didn't know I needed a Roger. Roger was on the last of my, I didn't send a Hanukkah Harry or a Santa Claus. I want, please get me a Roger. But then suddenly they're talking to a Roger and they're like, oh, Roger, I didn't know I needed this gift. But you do need it, because voice is the most powerful communication tool we have. And yet people don't know how to use it. And they're just getting by. They're just sitting down at the piano as if they knew how to play, but they don't know how to play. And they're trying to make beautiful music from it. And they should just learn how to play it. So before we go, I just want to mention that I always come, I said I'm the gift of Roger, so I want to make that gift of Roger even easier for your followers. And that is, there's a $50 gift certificate waiting for any of you. You can have it free, but a $50 gift certificate for all of your followers waiting at rogerlove.com/Julie. Why not? Lowercase Julie, even though you're super important. rogerlove.com/Julie. And you'll go there and you'll decide, do I want to work on my speaking voice? Do I want to work on my singing voice? Do I want to work on both? I have programs that are super, super affordable. My giving $50 off is basically giving you programs. So go to rogerlove.com/Julie, get your $50 certificate, and then explore what's on the site and do something with your voice. Don't Anyone listening today who has spent time with us, I at least had to have not only opened up your mouth, but I should have opened up your ears and your brain to be thinking, maybe there's more to this voice stuff than I was thinking before Julie had her best friend Roger on. So, with that, you can finish, but let me close with the song that I started with today. And it was just a song I remembered from my childhood. And I think your mother was sending me this from above, and it was this song. It, the only song I know that's about Julie. Julie, 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 do you love me? Julie, 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 do you care? Of me, Julie, Julie, will you still be there? So thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for being with me today. And I'm glad I could be there for you and your people. And let's, now that we're buddies, let's spend more time together.
Oh my gosh, Roger. First of all, I'm like, I'm in love with him now. Whatever just happened. Or I feel like it's my mom, one or the other. Our world needs you, Roger. Like everyone listening, you've got to go to this link and get, I'm telling you, because I've done your work is amazing. What you're teaching, the world needs, I'm like, the world needs Roger.
I love that song. And on the site, you'll also see once a year, I do, do you want to, if you love me or the message,
then
do you want to go away with me for the weekend? I do a virtual event coming up September 23rd through the 25th, virtual event, Voice of Success, where people can come and spend 3 days with me. They don't have to spend the whole time. They can come and go, like going to the bathroom on a date. They can come and go. There'll be some bathroom trips, but they can spend 3 days with me. And the information for that is on Voice of Success. It's on rogerlove.com/Julie as well.
Amazing. Roger, you are a gift. You're a gift to me, to this whole audience, to the world. This work is transformative. We all need this. We all need this. And you are, my cheeks are hurting. I always say, everyone knows here on the level of 1 to 10 from smiling, they are like at a 15. Thank you. It's beautiful work for what you're offering. We will have the links, everything in. And this has just been a joy. Thank you for the song. I literally feel like I'm going to start crying.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be a part of your journey. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope it inspires you to remember who you really are and who you chose to be in this lifetime. If you're interested in becoming your USU, I would love to guide you. Please check out my website for additional information on how we can work together. And if you feel moved, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so that more big-hearted individuals can find these inspiring conversations. Here's to being and loving your USU.